We've been taking our time, both last night and today, looking at Colossians chapter 3. Last night, we considered the question of what are we called to seek? What does God call us to seek? And we are called to seek the things that are above. And seeking the things that are above means that we seek Christ. That's what our lives are meant to be oriented towards. This morning, we took some time to consider where Christ is and what that means for us. Christ is, even now, interceding for us. We've been taking this time in Colossians 3 to help us gain a better perspective on the lives that we live, to help us love the right things, to help us look the right way, to help us be a heavenly-minded church. Now, the opening of this book that I'm holding here, titled Remember Heaven, Pastor Matt McCullough, he observes how humans by design are future-oriented. He writes the following. He says this. He says, we're not the only creatures with an eye on what's coming. Birds build nests in the springtime. Squirrels bury nuts in the fall. Bears store up fat for winter hibernation. But birds, squirrels, and bears operate on instinct aimed at simple survival. Humans alone have hopes and dreams. We imagine opportunities to crave and possibilities to fear. We train for careers. We plan for families. We save for retirement. We buy insurance for our houses, our cars, our health, and even our lives. Only humans make conscious choices now in the hope or dread of what might be later. The question is not whether your view of the future shapes your life today. The question is which view of the future is shaping your life today and what effect it is having. That's the question. Which view of the future is shaping your life today and what effect is it having? Stated another way, we might ask more directly, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We go through our lives waiting for things. We're waiting for little things, we're waiting for big things, we're waiting for things that might happen this week, we're waiting for things that might happen today, we're waiting for things that will happen in 20 years or decades to come. We spend our lives waiting. What are you waiting for? How we answer this question, it shapes how we live our lives today. And this brings us to what we're going to just be meditating on for the next few minutes this evening. This is what should be the Christian's answer to this question. Colossians 3, verse 4. And it says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, it is impossible, literally impossible, for us to consider all that's contained in these 16 words. These words describe a future that defies what we can comprehend. There's infinite glory contained in these words, but we don't have infinite knowledge, and we don't have infinite time, so we're just going to consider two truths about this verse. Two truths about this verse. Truth number one, Christ will appear. Christ will appear. This morning we read together, Chris was reading it, from Acts 1, where Jesus ascends into heaven, and as the disciples are looking up, what do you think they were thinking in that moment? Jesus has just ascended into the heavens, and they're just looking up in the sky. As they're looking up, two angels come and ask them, why do you stand looking into heaven? They then explain that this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. They're saying that the Jesus who ascended, he's coming back. He will return. This Jesus will again appear. This Jesus appeared this first time, winning for us salvation through his death and resurrection. And he will come again when we will see in full all that he has won for us. And this second coming is just what we're waiting for. Christ will appear. And when he appears, John writes in 1 John 3:2 that when he appears, we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. For now, we only see through a glass darkly. But when he appears, we will see him face to face. The very Jesus who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, we will see face to face. When Moses asked to see God, he had to be hidden in the cleft of a rock as God's glory passed by him. But when Christ, our life, appears, we will see him as he is. In all his radiance and beauty and glory, we will see him with our own eyes, just as we see one another. I mean, you look around this room, you see bodies, you see people. With these eyes, one day we'll have redeemed bodies and we will see Jesus with these eyes. This Jesus that we will behold is the same one we read about this morning from Colossians 1. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the one who created all things and the one for whom all things were created. He is the one who is before all things, the one who holds all things together. He is that shining light that drives away darkness. He is the life, the resurrection life that defeats death. John Owen writes that in him we shall see a glory 1,000 times above what we can conceive. And the reality is that's an understatement. That we will see a glory 1,000 times above what we can conceive is an understatement. Because Christ is infinitely more. Whatever comes to your mind is the most spectacular, most incredible, most captivating thing. Christ is more. All that is excellent will be always before us when Christ, our life, appears. Christ will appear, and this is what we wait for. But not only does Colossians 3:4 tell us that Christ will appear, it also tells us something about us. Truth number two, our hidden life will appear. We saw in verse 3 how we are defined as those who have died with Christ. For you have died, and your life, you've died, but you have life, and that life is hidden with Christ in God. The true life that we have been given in Jesus Christ, it's hidden now, meaning that what we are isn't fully realized. It's not fully known. It's not completely seen. The lives that we live now, they don't fully reflect the resurrection life that we will experience in eternity. And so we go through this life and we face temptation and we give in to sin and we are weak and death pervades the reality of what we live in every day. Our life is hidden. Right now, Richard Sibbs writes how our happiness is veiled over. That's our reality right now. Our happiness is veiled over. There are many things between us and what is really our life. And then he asks, but shall it always be so? Oh, no. Oh, no. Who we really are will be fully known and fully seen on that coming day. The day that Christ, our life, appears is the day that we will also appear with him in glory. This is our hope. This is what we are waiting for. But sadly, for many Christians, and maybe even for some of us in this room, the idea that we have of heaven, the way we imagine that this coming day will be, it may not excite us. It doesn't really excite us. We can easily imagine that day as a day that in some way we will be something maybe other than human, something less than human. Think of how our society, how our culture, even Christian culture, imagines eternal life, imagines heaven. And you have pictures of clouds and angels strumming on harps. It's like, I'm not interested in that. Like, that's not exciting. It sounds awful. We can think of heaven as being something less than human. We think of heaven, we think of the appearing of this hidden life, and we think that in some way it means that we will have less fun and be less alive. But the truth could not be more different than that. Listen to how theologian Mike Reeves, he describes this future hope that we await. He says, now and for eternity, Becoming more like Christ means becoming more human, not less. When Christ our life appears and we appear with him in glory, we will be more human then than we have ever been now. Created in the image of God, we will be what we were meant to be. Then he describes it this way. We will be unshriveled, unbent, and unfurled. That's as we age, as anything ages and gets closer to death, as anything dies, we use the phrase, it shriveled up and died. But there's a day coming when we will be unshriveled. We, in our sin, are bent to the things of earth. We're bent in on ourselves. We're bent towards sin. But there is a day coming when we will be unbent. And this hidden life that we have, think of a flag that's been balled up. And you can't even see the beauty of that flag, the glory of that flag. But there is a day coming when that flag will be unfurled. You will see it in its beauty and its glory. On that day when Christ our life appears, we will be what we were meant to be. We will be more human, more truly alive, experience more joy and satisfaction on that day than we can ever on this day. And Paul is exhorting us to set our minds on things above, because this is something that we can get in on now. We can start enjoying this now. We can start enjoying and participating in this life that is hidden with Christ in God, this true life that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we do that through wonderfully ordinary ways. And that's what Paul spends the rest of Colossians 3 talking about. We do that by being kind to one another, by being patient when someone wrongs you, by being quick to forgive, by being compassionate toward our own weaknesses and the weaknesses of others, by being grateful in all that we think and say and do. This is what it looks like when you're heavenly minded. You walk in these things. You do these things. Take some time. Could be tonight, tomorrow, this week. Read Colossians 3 and read where Paul goes after he talks about seeking the things that are above. There are things we're called to put to death, things that are earthly in us, and things that we are called to put on. We know where history is headed. We know where we are going. We know that Christ will appear and we will appear with him. So dress appropriately now. Prepare for that day. This is how the heavenly-minded person lives and spends their days as they await this future day when our life will be fully revealed. We get to let that life be seen ahead of time through the way we live here and now. This is the life of faith. It's one where we believe what we do not see as we await the day where we will finally see what we believe. That's what we're waiting for. We believe what we do not see, waiting for the day that we will see what we believe. Our faith will be made sight. What is now hidden will appear. This is what we are waiting for. Now, to help you and to encourage you as we seek to be a heavenly-minded church, as your pastors, we have a small gift for you. And as you head out of this session, as you head out after our session, we have a gift for everyone who's 13 and over, and it's a book. It's the book I read from earlier, this book right here, Remember Heaven. It's titled Meditations on the World to Come for Life in the Meantime. We live life in the meantime. We're waiting for this day when Christ our life will appear. So what do we do as we're waiting? How do we live? This book is a wonderful meditation on how we're called to live in these days. Our hope is that this book would stir you and stir your hope for the life to come. That the coming of Jesus Christ, the hope of his appearing, would stir your affections, would shape your thoughts, would produce in us holy living in anticipation of the life that's to come. We pray that this book would not only encourage you, but that it would prompt conversations in the life of our church about what it looks like for us to live together as a heavenly-minded people. We need one another on this journey. As Chuck encouraged us, we are brought together to strengthen one another. And God has given us this gift of community, of family, of life together on this journey. Just to give you a little taste, I want to read a couple excerpts from this book. Matt McCullough, the pastor who wrote this, he says this. He says, "How we spend our moments is how we spend our lives. Do you want your life measured by how many fantasy football titles you won? Or how many limited time deals you grabbed? Or how many likes you got on that family photo? Or how many days in a row you nailed the Wordle challenge? How we spend our moments is how we spend our lives." John Stott once preached to a crowd full of eager young students who were interested in giving their lives to international missions. He reminded them to remember who they were as citizens of heaven and pilgrims on earth, and to be wary of how quickly we can fix our eyes here below. Then he quotes John Stott. Stott says this, "I read some years ago of a young man who found a $5 bill on the street and who, from that time on, never lifted his eyes when walking. In the course of years, he accumulated 29,516 buttons, 54,172 pins, 12 cents, a bent back, and a miserly disposition. But think what he lost. He couldn't see the radiance of the sunlight, the sheen of the stars, the smile on the face of his friends, or the blossoms of springtime, for his eyes were in the gutter." There are too many Christians like that. We have important duties on earth, but we must never allow them to preoccupy us in such a way that we forget who we are or where we are going. Who we are, we're those who have been buried with Christ, we've died with Christ, we've been raised with him. We are joined to him, we are united to him. Where are we going? We're going to heaven. We're going to the place where God dwells. Heaven is a place that's defined by presence. McCullough writes this, he says, "At the center of the world to come is the promise that God will be there. Heaven is almost synonymous with God himself. That's because all its glory flows from his direct, unmediated presence. The presence of God makes heaven a world of more. A world of more. More happiness and more holiness. Fullness of joy forever. An eternal world of love. And the presence of God makes heaven a world of no more. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more pain, no more death, and no more tears, because God will wipe them away and make sure there is no more reason to weep again." This is the day we're waiting for. We are waiting for this day, the day when Christ, our life, appears, and we will also appear with him in glory. Amen. Amen.